10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Todd Blanch is in trouble. Hello, friends. I'm JBL here with my Bulwark colleague and author of the Morning Shots newsletter, Andrew Egger. Andrew, on Capitol Hill today, they were supposedly going to start moving good old Todd Blanch, very strong, charismatic acting attorney general, start moving him through the confirmation process, only to have things stopped at the last minute. Andrew, before we start, would you like to set the stage?
Yeah. So what we have here, this is the guy who is obviously currently serving as the acting attorney general. He's been that way since Pam Bondi was run out of town by the president earlier this year. But Trump has been trying to make it official. Trump has been trying to get his confirmation through the Senate. He has run into a perhaps surprising amount of resistance from a couple of senators. Not that surprising once you realize the very, very small concessions that these senators are trying to get out of Blanch, which Trump and the federal government seem disinclined to give them. But surprising just against the normal backdrop of GOP quiescence to everything that Trump wants them to do. But that all came to a head today. Blanch had his confirmation hearing 2 weeks ago. The committee, the Judiciary Committee, was supposed to vote him out of committee today. But you have two senators who are saying, until we get a couple of these very small concessions, which apparently we haven't been able to get yet because of the White House, we're a no-go on it. So Trump is punting.
Those senators are Cornyn and Tillis, both of whom Donald Trump has driven out of political life. Is that fair to say?
Yes, they are. They are both lame ducked out. Cornyn lost his primary. He's a senator from Texas, lost his primary earlier this year after Trump dangled an endorsement in front of him for months to make him do all kinds of embarrassing things and jump through hoops and try to rename interstates after the president and things like this, but then endorsed his primary opponent, Ken Paxton. Cornyn has now lost that primary. He will be leaving Congress next year, leaving the Senate next year. Same with Tom Tillis, who rather than go through that whole song and dance, took the somewhat more dignified, although more defeatist approach of just retiring. Did not actually wait around for Trump to pick him a primary challenger, saw the writing on the wall there and said, I'm done. I will also be leaving next year of my own free will.
And the sticking point here seems to be they want the weaponization fund to be put to bed officially. And the White House seems to want to say, yeah, okay, sure, but not actually put that in writing, correct?
Yes. And I, to be honest, I have had a hard time wrapping my mind around this because it really did seem during Blanch's confirmation hearing a couple of weeks ago and during some testimony prior to that as well, that this thing had been put to bed, that the White House put up a trial balloon about this. This was a big part of Blanch's audition to be Trump's real nominee for the permanent post of attorney general, is that he shepherded this anti-weaponization fund through. I assume people remember this unless you were either living under a rock or
We've had 87 scandals since then, Andrew.
I know you found your mind like bludgeoned, completely insensate by all this other shit that's going on. But the anti-weaponization fund, if you do or don't remember, was this unbelievably corrupt and appalling deal that Blanch and company put forward to settle a personal lawsuit that Trump had brought against the IRS in his personal capacity, that would have created this gigantic pot of federal money to do payouts, a slush fund, to people who had claims that they had been wronged by the quote-unquote weaponization of the Justice Department under President Biden. And what that primarily meant was the president and his family and people around him, even though the president personally would have been barred from collecting from this directly. But people in his orbit who felt like they had been unjustly prosecuted for crimes. And then, even more obviously, January Sixers, people who stormed the Capitol at his behest and command, in order to stop him from no longer being the president, in order to stop the 2020 election from being certified, and who then correctly found themselves prosecuted, and many of them found themselves jailed because they'd been convicted of the crimes they committed in connection to that riot and to that insurrection attempt. Not only did these people get pardoned as soon as Trump came back into office, every single one of them, even those who had assaulted Capitol Police officers and things, but according to the plan of this anti-weaponization fund, which was launched, it wasn't just planned, it was announced, launched, they were moving forward with it, these people would have been eligible for financial taxpayer restitution for the pains, for their troubles, essentially, for the pains they had suffered. Blanche pulled the plug on this after it became clear not only that there was going to be a lot of GOP resistance to this plan ever happening. In fact, there were a lot of there was a lot of talk about even creating new legislation to block this thing from ever going into effect. But not only that, it kind of quickly became clear to him that it was imperiling his own possible future confirmation. And so he told the Senate at a couple different points in his testimony, just kidding, we're shelving this, we're putting it on mothballs, you're never going to have to worry about it again. And that seemed to be the end of it. Until now, until Blanche came back around to Congress to get the votes that he needed in the Senate for this confirmation. He only needs 50 votes, and found out that a couple of these senators wanted a little more than just him saying in a congressional hearing that they had no intention of reviving this fund. He wanted a written declaration. They both wanted a written declaration from the Justice Department that this fund would not be moving forward, as opposed to just, no, we're not planning on that right now. And apparently, this is something that matters enough to some important people in the White House that they are willing to keelhaul their own attorney general nomination rather than give what, by all appearances, should be just one more practical reassurance of this thing that they have supposedly already abandoned. So it's just a crazy situation, basically, any way you look at it.
Let's hear from John Cornyn.
If this were just between me and Todd Blanche, we would have worked this out. But apparently he's getting some pushback from higher ups at the White House. I don't know who, but this doesn't need to be this hard.
What have you heard from the White House, and what have you heard from the Justice Department?
Well, they made a proposal last night. We made a counter proposal, and we thought we basically had met in the middle. But heard this morning that that was all off.
So he doesn't want to put it in writing? Is that what it is?
That's basically it, yeah. And it's what he testified to under oath. So it's not like this is something new and different. And it causes me concern if they don't want to put it in writing that this is not something that is going to be enforceable in the long term.
I just have one question for you, Andrew. How does putting it in writing make it enforceable? I mean, Bobby Kennedy said a whole bunch of things under oath, and he went back on all of them. The Trump administration signed a deal with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the House of Saud, to begin selling nuclear stuff to them so they can begin their civilian nuclear program. And then after they signed the deal, the Trump administration was like, no, actually, they have to recognize Israel, too. And Saudi's response was, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, bro. We signed the deal. There ain't no renegotiation. It's right here. We got the paper. But that doesn't mean they're going to get it, right? I mean, the idea that, well, we signed a piece of paper with Donald Trump means that it's over? Is he stupid?
Yeah, I mean, I totally take your point on that. I guess the counter argument is like, what else could you expect to get? Like, what would be better than that? It seems to me that if
you're not going to get anything, and so don't confirm him. Like that's why, like, if what you care about is this, like if you care about this, then the answer is no, we're not going to confirm you.
And that is the funny subtext of all of this, right? Is it's like this. It's not just that this anti-weaponization fund is or would be bad if it were real. It is also so psychotic that the plan was ever thought up, that it was ever launched, that it was ever like the brainchild of this man, Todd Blanche, to be like, you know what I think the president would really go for that would really make him want to put me in this job permanently is if I did this insanely corrupt deal. And that all these guys, including Tillis and Cornyn, are willing to basically say, well, you know, I'm not going to hold it against you that you tried to shove this down our throats. I just want the tiniest little bit of reassurance that you won't try to do this exact one again.
I want you to promise you want to, we're okay with all the Epstein cover-up stuff. We're okay with the fact that you're the president's lawyer. We're okay with, you know, like we're going to come up with one thing that you could satisfy us with to make it look like we held your feet to the fire. When Andrew, what do they care? They hate Donald Trump. Donald Trump hates them. Is nobody in Washington motivated by spite anymore?
It's so surreal to see a guy like Cornyn, who is like, you know, your sort of typical like deals oriented legislator who loves to get in there and, you know, hash out an omnibus or whatever. He spent a lot of time in GOP leadership and he's talking about this deal like you talk about that, like, you know, like, oh, we've got this little bit of distance between us on marginal tax rates or on this piece of policy or on that piece of, you know. That different trade apparatus or whatever, and we got in the room last night and we thought we were pretty close, and then this morning they came back and we're not as close as we thought we were, but we think we're going to get there. But what we're talking about is giving money to people who beat up police officers on January 6th. I mean, like, we are so far through the looking glass on this stuff. It's crazy.
This message is brought to you by Function Health. So August is National Wellness Month. You may not know that. I hadn't known that, but it is. Most health trends just mean buying random gadgets and guessing what actually works. I wanted to stop guessing and actually look at the data behind my body. Your daily resilience leaves a clear data trail in your blood, and Function tracks the exact markers behind your energy and your immunity. Not a generic overview. They look at your core biomarkers like your white blood cell count, which maps your frontline defense against invaders, and vitamin D and zinc, which are essential immune anchors. Plus, secondary metrics they cross-reference like MMA for your active B12 levels and cortisol, which can share how stress is actually impacting your body. I just set up my appointment for my test through Function, and I can't wait to see the results. The best part is, once the results come in, I can see them all on the Function platform and get better guidance for my health. God knows I need it. Very busy, but Function helps me with all that. Check your health the way I do. Function provides 160 plus lab tests for $1 a day and member pricing on advanced imaging. Join functionhealth.com/bulwarktakes and use gift code bulwarktakes25.
Right. The other half of this, Andrew, is the promise of immunity, right, for future prosecutions against Trump and his family for the IRS. But anyway, about an hour after the Cornyn interview we just saw, we got a Truth Social tweet from Donald J. Trump. I'll read it for you, friends. Todd Blanche is a star, and everyone knows it. He has the potential to go down as one of the greatest attorney generals of all time. However, John Cornyn of Texas and Thom Tillis of North Carolina, both of whom I refuse to endorse and whose political careers have been ended by my action, are refusing to vote for this great nominee who will remain, in any event, as acting. Remember, both Cornyn and Tillis voted for Merrick Garland and others too numerous to mention. I have no objection to temporarily withdrawing Todd's name if they do not do the right thing and putting him back after Cornyn and Tillis are out of office. President Donald J. Trump. Okay. And we then get a response from Cornyn. POTUS is mistaken if he believes my concerns about the provisions in his tax lawsuit settlement are limited to me and Senator Tillis. I don't think he's mistaken, Andrew. I think the president is right. The only people who object are the ones standing up and saying the objection. Everybody else has swallowed it.
It depends what specific thing you're referring to. I think these are the only two guys who are willing to hold up Blanche at this moment in time. I think that if you were to see them actually try to dust this policy off based on all the reporting we were getting, you know, when this was first a live issue, I mean, the White House backtracked on this very quickly in a way they would not have had to do if it were only Tillis and Cornyn, like these two people who had already kind of become persona non grata in Trump world. There was a lot of talk about half the Republican conference, perhaps, being willing to like actually stand up and be candid. No, sure. I'm serious. Like,
sure,
not,
Jan.
Not to go to the microphones and you know, talk about it in the way it actually was, which is like this true, genuine, appalling assault on the rule of law and like this attempt to make good evil and evil good. Like that was never going to happen. But in terms of potentially getting behind some kind of amendment to some kind of must pass piece of legislation that would block the fund from going into effect, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we were hearing a lot about. And it backed the White House off, at least at that time. So I don't know. I mean, I do think the one other point that I'd make is that I think it's interesting that Blanche, I mean, I think he has actually played this pretty well from his own personal selfish point of view of how do I cement my place as Donald Trump's candidate in this race. Because again, like I keep saying, that was what this fund was about since the very beginning. And now, even though the fund has sort of fallen apart and self-destructed, he has succeeded in now picking this fight, like casting his nomination fight as him carrying the bloody flag of MAGA forward against these two, in Trump's mind, rhinos in Cornyn and Tillis. I mean, like, there were a lot of people out in MAGA world whose opinion of Todd Blanche was, this is a rhino in disguise. This is just like a hotshot, smooth lawyer who's not really a true believer, who wants to get in there, who's going to Bill Barr us one of these days, you know, and show his true colors when the president needs him most. And I
feel
pretty
safe in saying that Todd Blanche will not pull a Bill Barr.
I agree with that. I'm just saying that was the kind of MAGA chatter that Blanche was trying to inoculate himself against with this whole gimmick. And I think he has succeeded in that cynical play.
Well, and to your point that Blanche has actually been quite savvy about this, he's managed to do that while also managing to make Tillis and Cornyn think that he's actually on their side and he's the reasonable one. Here's Tillis.
Action is the president's getting bad advice. He should listen to Blanche and others who think if it's dead, it should be rendered completely dead.
What do you mean he's getting bad advice? I mean, this is the president making a decision.
Somebody saw him to not do what Blanche said they were going to do. Whoever that person is giving the president bad advice. The only reason why we wouldn't move forward with this language is because that same advisor wants to bring it back to life at some point.
I'm saying the advisors, but it's the president.
That you can draw that conclusion, Manu, and I can draw one that's got my eyes on the target.
Oh, his eyes are on the target, Andrew.
What does that
mean?
Well,
you know, if only Comrade Stalin knew. If only his advisors would really tell him what was going on, he would never liquidate the kulaks. Nothing makes me as mad as this, Andrew. Nothing. What are you protecting, Tom Tillis? You're done. They hate you. This gang stomped you out. And you're protecting them. It drives me crazy. Absolutely crazy. John Fetterman doesn't treat his Democratic colleagues with this much deference as Tom Tillis does with the guy who ended his career. I don't understand.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Yeah, even just from a strategic point of view, it just seems totally bewildering. I mean, there are two main actors here, and both of their motivations are completely intelligible and obvious, and it's Blanche and Trump. And Blanche, as we keep talking about, this whole thing's his baby. He's the guy with his signature on the paperwork for this anti-weaponization fund from the very beginning. He was the guy who was trotted out there to defend it at various points. And then, obviously, it is all at Trump's best, you know, like everything else is in this government. So we have to gin up this like fan fiction about how there's some different secret third party who's out there. Like Blanche, I had not realized this. I had not noticed this until you pointed it out, queuing that clip up, the way that Tillis loops Blanche in as like a reasonable party in this interaction. And presumably the president would be too, if it weren't for the fact that he were getting this advice from some mystery man who just really wants to give the J6ers their flowers.
What does Tom Tillis think he's protecting here? Because it's like he's acting like he's trying to keep Trump from being. Trump has made it clear. His view, his message to Tom Tillis, fuck you. Like that's, you know, it's not like he Trump has no problem being like, Tom Tillis, who's this guy? I ended his career. He sucks and he's gone. And Tom tells like, well, I'm trying to protect you. Just get better. Who? This is what I don't understand, Andrew. What is the play? If you're Tom Tillis and you're going to be a cuck, just get in the chair and be a cuck, right? Or go along with it because whatever, you know, Mog is what Mog is. But this weird twilight, like, well, I'm going to hold it up, but I'm not going to really hold it up because even if they give me the thing I want, they could still do it sometime, but I'm going to cause a little bit of, it's mystifying. What? Why? What is he playing?
To me, it's a little bit less like this bank shot. I'm going to try to woo the president by continuing to defend his honor sort of before an audience of the American people. I think it's just a little bit more like lizard brain and Pavlovian than that. He knows that if he were to directly attack the president and the president were to see that, it would just be the very end of any possible movement toward what he wants to get in this department. And you've seen these guys play this game for years. Sometimes it works a little bit. Usually it doesn't. They always kind of try to trick themselves into believing it's the high percentage play in any given interaction, because what else are they supposed to do other than, you know, try to reinvent themselves as like resistance hero Republicans. And none of them are interested in that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, like, this is exactly the strategy that we were just talking about. Cornyn tried for months and months and months and months in his own primary, you know, just wrapping himself in the MAGA flag over and over again, doing all of this stuff to butter up the president. There's this weird thing for Trump, like on a personal level, and we've seen this psychologically with a lot of different Republicans over the years, is that he demands that you completely supplicate yourself to him in this way. Like it is absolutely like the first and last thing you have to do even to get in the room. But as soon as you do it, and the more you keep doing it, the more he observes you doing it, the less he respects you, because it's so obviously like servile, clownish behavior. And so like there's no real way to stay in his good books other than what a very, very few people who he perceives to actually be bringing something to the table that he himself does not already have been able to do over the years. Guys like Stephen Miller. But for the most part, this is the bind that all these guys find themselves in. There's no way out. I'm sure there's a part of Cornyn and a part of Tillis that is glad to finally be on their way out of here and are just trying to get a couple last little things to soothe their consciences, even as they try not to make too many waves so as to not have too many headaches in retirement. It's a little bit of a balance between, you know, the soothing their own heads and soothing their own hearts for their last years here on Earth.
You know, regular listeners or readers of my newsletter, The Triad, ding, 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 may know that I don't have the highest opinion of people who have voted for Donald Trump three times now. But I got to say, this episode, I think, is a perfectly good explanation for why Republican voters choose Trump. Because if you look at Donald Trump in this situation, and then you look at Tom Tillis and John Cornyn, Tom Tillis and John Cornyn's position is ludicrous. And they clearly are either idiots or weaklings or cowards or fools. Like, nothing they're doing or saying here makes any sense. What Trump is saying makes all the sense in the world. He's just open, right? Like, he wants this thing. These other guys are mooks. Who cares? Like, and I, you know what? If your view of the Republican Party pre-Trump was that it's filled with guys like Cornyn and Tillis, and then Trump comes along and you're just like, well, you know, says what he means. Like, okay, I get it. Because what Tillis and Cornyn are doing here is ludicrous. All right, guys, hit like, hit subscribe, follow the channel. We'll be back with more good news because it's always good news. Good luck, America.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.